Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, how do you get disappointed? See if you can identify the process of disappointment.
That's a good one, isn't it?
So here's our, Sorry, Sherry?
That's a good one, isn't it?
It's a fabulous one. And here is our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. I'm happy to be here from Victoria.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Janice.
Uh-huh. How do you get disappointed?
Yeah. I get disappointed having a separate self. I have when I
it's called cutting to the chase, right?
when I have an idea about what it is I need or how I imagine everybody else in the world should be feeling this way or that way, like me
and
or my experiences,
and acting that way, right?
And acting
that
way.
How should they feel? The right way, they should act the right way.
Yes.
I'm right with you.
Yeah. So I could see that, it's that whole separate self, and that whatever my karmic tendencies are, I just project it out onto everyone else.
Yes. Well, and one big clue for us is that they... Right? It's
oh, right.
Me, right? So we can tell in that how very separate we are from the herd, because they're doing that. I'm over here observing how they're being, and I can see what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
If it's we, it's a little, we can still see what's going on. It's just that we're much clearer about who needs to take responsibility for the problem.
Mm. Yeah, and if it's me, that's just as bad as they.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, what a very good and subtle point. Because now, once again, they is ego, right?
Right.
Me is ego. So whether self-hate is beating them up or beating me up, it's the same process.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But when we're in we, then we see the human condition and what we're all up against, and we can see the choices that are going to assist us and the choices that are going to sink us, and it's a much clearer view, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's
so
good.
This morning I was just recording about it and reading the musings that I'd be happy to say everybody should read.
Because it's dynamite, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, and, it really is.
And I just wanted to report how that disappointment thing. I just want to report something because we got a phone call about a month ago from our my eldest stepchild, who lives abroad, and it was angry and accusative, and there were some hurtful things that projected really at my husband, who's not particularly healthy and resilient and well. But I was able to do all of the skills. For example, reflecting as my reflecting buddy skills over the years have helped me.
Mm-hmm.
I was able not to take it personally, not to assume that other person sees the whole picture, not to try and be defensive, not to give a point of view. I just offered that anytime the person wanted to come, I would pay for a plane ticket and they could come and stay and be here and just see for themselves and be. So I would like to say that 2 weeks after that, The offer was accepted, and we're halfway through a 2-week visit right now, and it is quite wonderful.
Oh, isn't that good?
Isn't that
good?
And
I project that you can see how really awful it could have been.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, the whole thing could have stopped at that phone call.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. And hard feelings and rifts that are never repaired.
Never repaired. And regrets. Mm-hmm. Regrets that, you know, there's no going back after.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, that's wonderful. And what a great commercial. I think there's another Reflective Listening Buddies getting ready to start. I don't know. I lose track.
Yeah,
they
may, I think so.
Already started. July 15th.
July 15th, I think.
And so that's a great commercial because when we learn those skills, then it's really possible for us to have very different relationships.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because there's just reflecting.
Mm-hmm. And no disappointment required.
No disappointment, no.
No separation. No separation. Yeah. Because you got to be separate to be disappointed, right?
Right. Yeah. And I appreciate this opportunity this year, but I so appreciate hearing from everybody. And, it makes me go happy.
Yes, exactly. All right. Thank you, Janice.
Thank you. Treasure yourselves.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Janice. It's so lovely always to hear practice successes. Yes. It really is. That's a wonderful point. We can easily slide into just looking at the difficult places, the places where we get stuck, the disappointments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
fine. We do need to look at that in practice, but also to focus on the places and times when it works.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And I love it because that, and the ability to recognize the process so instantly and cut to the chase like Janice just did, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the separation that causes the disappointment. In fact, the separation in itself is disappointment because we've moved from the wholeness of it to I'm separate from that. And there is an experience that feels crushing related to it. And I was just looking at it this morning, right? When, especially when something unpleasant or hurtful or, something that you don't want to have happen, that doesn't feel good to you, is that place of just saying yes to how it is doesn't mean anything other than yes to how it is. And then there's no separation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. It really is. It's all of that. I don't want it to be this way and all of it, but really that not to take a position opposed to it. Even in the smallest, I watch myself do this all the time. Someone suggests something, and there isn't a yes to the suggestion. There's always a counter. And that is what causes the lack of harmony, right? That instinctive opposition to however it is, however small. It's what we're trained to do.
Trained to do that, trained to take a position and guarantee disappointment, which ego is just lapping up like cream.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oops, sorry, I was muted. This is Laura from San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
You were being a good citizen. I try.
God knows I try.
God knows I try. So I am behind, and I'm perpetually behind, and I'm watching.
No.
Oh, like I feel like that's my. It's like it's how I feel everywhere, right?
Uh-huh.
Which is right.
Uh-huh.
The the focus of this retreat.
And so how
do you go about that, Laura? How do you do that?
So it seems like it is that place that, I mean, it's how I do everything. So I'm in the very beginning, I'm excited, I'm lit up, it's prioritized, it's in the schedule, and it feels really doable. And then something just happens, I say that in quotes, where, you know, it was in the first couple months, getting behind like a day or two was never a problem. I just caught back up. And the last time I was on, unmuted, it was the same conversation. And I'd made a commitment to, as soon as I got off the call, to spend the next 30 minutes sitting down and doing assignments. And and so I did that. And here's, so I started that. And then I got a knock on my door. And I was at my office. And then I had a client call that I hadn't realized it was on my calendar, but it wasn't in my brain. So when I made the commitment, I was excited to do so. And I have not, and then I just don't put the, I don't do it. And then in my mind, it becomes, go ahead.
So let me ask you a question right there. So what happens to it? Does it just then slide out of your awareness until at some point you get a tap on your shoulder and you realize with that start of disappointment, oh my God, I've done it again. Does it drop in during the day that
it will?
Don't forget. And you manage to just, what do you do
so
when it drops in?
It tends to drop in when I'm driving, when I'm in the shower, when I'm like in all of these times when I actually can't pull out the book.
So you can see it's a torture. It's not life dropping in the that's such a good thing for us to look at, right? The difference between life dropping in information for us, which will happen at an appropriate time, you can stop and do it right then, versus ego poking you, that goading, torturing kind of don't forget, but there's nothing you can do about it. You're behind, and there's nothing you can do about it.
It's perpetual. It will happen with everything, bills and getting dog food. And I mean, it doesn't matter how small or big it is.
That's right. Because you feel bad.
Right.
It's the way to make you feel bad.
And I know we made this commitment in, was it 2012, not to feel bad? And feeling bad seems to be the thing I'm addicted to, that this human being gets like
ego at work. That's ego at work. That's how ego manages to stay in the position it's in people's lives. You feel bad. You're disappointed. Yeah. You're depressed. You feel bad. Yeah. That's ego's deal. Right. So that's why not feeling bad, of course, is so important. And I get how hard it is not to feel bad in a situation where the programming is so deep to feel bad. But that is what has to happen. More than catching up with this retreat, more than buying dog food, although, you know, we hate to see those little people go without. But more than anything, the focusing on, I don't care. I choose unconditional love. Now, I'm going to get in the car and go get dog food. Now, I'm going to sit down and do this, and I'm not answering my door or whatever it is, right?
Right.
But, I don't care. I choose unconditional love. I am not going to feel bad no matter what, because I know feeling bad doesn't do anything except feed ego. Doesn't, if it were to make you a better person, we would all say, go, Laura, feel terrible, right? Get out of that trap. That's the way to get out of that trap. But we know that's not true.
Right. And the combination, the 1-2 combination of like commitment to not feeling bad and not answering the door, and right with the behavioral change. Like that, it mm-hmm. seems that mm-hmm. because I can't, it's really hard to stay in the unconditional love if I don't go with life to take care of the human.
Yes.
Does that, I don't know, is that?
Yeah, well, it's a process, right? And so, so to me, it's helpful when we narrow it down to one thing. I'm not going to feel bad. Because if it's catching up with the retreat and paying the bills on time and doing this for the kids and that for the hubby and that for the dogs and that for the clients and that for the, it's too much. You know, it's just, we just, our eyes glaze over and we're in ego land. But if your only focus is not feeling bad, then at the beginning of every day, you start with, okay, I have one commitment today. And that is to pay close attention to everything that happens and not feel bad no matter what. Do my best. Of course, I'm going to do my best, and I'm not going to feel bad. Right. Then at the end of the day, you mark your successes, you talk about what you saw, how you got bamboozled, you do the same thing the next day.
Okay. That feels really doable.
Good. You'll let me know.
Yeah. I will. Right.
All
yep.
right. Good. Thank you, Laura.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Laura. You know, Sherry, that was such an important conversation. It's in the It's Nothing Wrong With You, the book, right? That battering cycle, where we don't realize that the making the commitment is part of the stress that builds to the coping mechanism that gets you to feel bad from which you have. And so that awareness, that practice suggestion that you just made, where the way to get out of the battering cycle is to fix the place of the addiction, not the content that I have to wrestle into perfection. That feeling bad is the way out of, is the way that the energy builds for the cycle to start again. So if I can focus on not feeling bad, then the content can be whatever it is. I'm not making a decision to keep a commitment perfectly, which is within the cycle of not being able to be done.
Yeah, impossible, right?
Yes.
I've just set myself up again for something that is impossible, that's going to be taken away from me. I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to feel bad.
That's right. Yes, right. It's exactly right. And so if we focus on the not feeling bad, then there's a way in which the cycle is broken. And so then if I have some karmic thing that I need to work on, I'm working on it from outside the cycle, not.
Yeah, and that's part of course you're going to do the best you can do. Of course.
Yes.
That's everybody's doing the best they can all the time. That's a given. So
yes.
So now we take that off the table, and all we're doing is practicing not feeling bad. When those voices come at us, and that's all that's going on, right? The voices of self-hate come at us. It's not, they're not coming at us because we didn't keep a commitment. They're coming at us because that's what they do.
Right. And I would project that it's not even coming at us because it's coming at us to reinforce something that we believe that is not in our awareness, right? Whatever it is that I should be, you know, I'm a bad person for not keeping my commitments, or I'm a bad person for whatever it is that's wrong with you that's not explicitly stated is what is being maintained and reinforced. So if we are able to deal with that self-hate and not believe it, then that message, whatever it is subliminally, doesn't get reinforced, which is the only point of doing this practice, which is to embrace, is to get to love instead of self-hate.
Yeah. And then with what you're saying, those subliminal messages start rising to the surface, right? We get we get to see them. It doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that I don't care about the kids, or I don't love the dog, or it doesn't matter to me that.
Yeah,
or I'm not competent, or I'm not anything. Whatever it is that I'm not a contribution, I'm not enough, I'm not adequate, whatever is hidden there is something we can see. And from there, it's a very different it becomes a process practice rather than a content change.
Subtle and big.
All right.
Keep it simple, right? Keep it simple. One thing at a time. That's the...
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Karen in North Carolina.
Well,
hey,
Karen.
Hi, I'm just so tickled to get on. And this call is just speaking to every cell in my body. It's just amazing.
Good.
Yes. So what I was practicing with right before the call, my husband asked me if I wanted to do a project with him out in the pasture setting up fences. And it was so interesting to see, it, like, after a certain time doing the project, conditioning stepped in to want to leave. It got really irritated and on its time schedule and blah, blah, blah. And it was just so fascinating to see that arise and realize, because in, you know, many times it would have, I would have owned it and, you know, gotten and acted it all out. And
yes.
And I was
that
just blown
is,
away.
I just want to stop you right there for the magnitude of that, right?
Yes.
To be able to see, at another time, that would have been me. I'd have been, in quotes, I would have been thinking that. I'd have been saying that. That would have been my life instead of being here watching it. Yeah.
Yes. And I got to see it kind of move in and out of it a little bit, which was also fascinating. And then there was a lot of conversation going on, which is fascinating. Was like, and so much of what we've talked about, I think with the call yesterday with Eleanor about, or somebody, just being the other side of the coin, like, oh, well, you know, if you were at the monastery, you would be blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, it was just making this whole huge story and how I would have behaved better if I were at home and all of that other stuff. And it was just, it became so laughable. And I was just having the best time looking at the mountains and listening to the birds and watching this whole process of disappointment and irritation try to take over.
Uh-huh. And it didn't. It didn't succeed.
It did not succeed. It did not succeed. And I'm just so grateful for this year-long retreat. And I haven't been able to call that much in. And grateful to get on the call today. Thank you.
Well, you are so welcome. And I hope you made a couple of recordings at least about that whole process, so that the next time when it comes at you, and maybe you're a little more vulnerable, you have that in your back pocket to pull out and remind yourself of that process.
Yes,
how
exactly.
It's possible to watch it.
Yes, because that I can't remember Ashwini's words, but you know, it's the process that we're looking at rather than the content.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
All
well,
right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Karen. And there's such power, right, Sherry, to say yes. I mean, that to say yes even to the arising of an identification, because that's the only way we can stay witnessing it rather than dropping into it. Because as soon as we say, I need to fix this or avoid this or there's something wrong, there it's got us again.
Right, right. If we could see our heads, the inside of our heads, like a movie screen, you know, and try to remember that I'm sitting in a seat here watching a movie. I don't need to get involved with it. I don't need to run up there and try to throw myself in onto the screen, right?
I just
sit here and watch this.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's lovely. That's such a wonderful way of seeing it, too, that it's a movement, right? The attention moves from one process to the other, from watching to identification. And
yeah,
I just have to have those 10 seconds of insane courage to stay in watching.
Yes.
And so I just had an image drop in with that of what a bizarre movie it is. You know, if you went to a theater and watched 2 hours of what goes on in your head.
Yeah. 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 Well, I'll tell you this, it would be a very boring movie because it would be so repetitive.
Yes, yeah, and bizarre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry, so here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there, this is Lori in North Carolina.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. I'm noticing how helpful this conversation has been today, and what just dropped in is how the feeling bad comes directly through disappointment, and it's been perceived, you know, through a conditioned worldview that disappointment is, of course, there would be disappointment because just look at what's going on. And how can people do what they're doing and, you know, mm-hmm. people out there. And mm-hmm. then
them.
There's the desire, them is that whole separation
mm-hmm.
thing. And,
mm-hmm.
but the self-righteousness with it around, but can't they see really, you know, what we all need to be recognizing, unconditional love and acceptance and, you know, and yet it gets taken over. I see, you know, which I hadn't even recognized, the process of disappointment then doesn't even allow for the presence of unconditional love and acceptance because it's you know, driving that whole system of this is terrible. And here's the
uh-huh.
proof of how terrible it is. And
mm-hmm.
that and completely separate. But you know, it was just interesting to recognize that in these conversations that have been going on today. Like, wow, that's been the process. That's how it
uh-huh.
works.
That's how, yes. And isn't that good to see? You know, it's, can you remember when you encountered in driving your first roundabout? Right? And depending on, you know, whether it's one lane going in every direction or it's two lanes and where you want to, how you want to go and where you want to get off, you know, it's a heads up kind of an event, and then you get how it works, and you still have to pay attention, but it's not that feeling of being in the hands of conditioning because you don't know what's going on. You do know what's going on. And that's what you're describing with this. You see how it works. And so seeing how it works, you can just be present to it as it happens rather than getting into that flummoxed, what do I do? Oh my, and then attention is directed to what's wrong and what's wrong with you and what's wrong with them and what's wrong with everything else. So this paying attention long enough to be in that position of seeing how it works, watching it work time after time after time after time until we go, yeah, that's how that works. I don't need to buy into any stories about it. That's how it works. I can just cruise on through that.
Yeah, and so then it's just so insidious. So then there, what I'm aware of is sometimes just experiencing this brokenheartedness about, you know, what I'm witnessing or hearing or experiencing. And to do, this is what's possible, it seems to me, is to have that. There's an experience of being brokenhearted without going into the feeling bad and the disappointment and what's wrong with them and, you know, or what's wrong with me. Or just to be, though, in response without the story and without the separation.
Yes. And for me, it takes us to that place that I think I talked about in the newsletter article about getting to the place of how can I help?
Yeah. Yeah.
All this is going on. And I see how that, I know how that works. I know how it works in me. I only guess it works much the same way in everybody else. I get it. How can I make the contribution that I see as possible? How can I help? How can I make this situation better?
Exactly. And again, doing, you know, whatever actions, because there's plenty of that going on too here with me. But to stay with that focus of attention on this is what's possible right now. This is what can be offered right now without going back into the, oh, this is a mess. This is horrible.
Right.
You know, it's wrong and all that. And it seems like that coming back again and again and again. And particularly realizing how the design of all of that is to feel bad through the disappointment and through that rage.
So I read a little article yesterday about two young NFL players who were fixing up backpacks to give to immigrants. And so they were at the store and they were buying all these things to fill up these backpacks and to take them down to wherever they take them to get them to these people. And they, of course, they were being interviewed. And the one fellow said, you know, it's something along the lines of, I really don't care what's going on. I'm always going to choose love. And it's one of those, you know, let us not think that we are alone in realizing what the solution is to every problem. It was it was such a moment of, I'm always going to choose love.
Oh gosh. Well, you know, and of course, then that comes back here too. I'm going to choose love, so that if there is a experience of something wrong, a disappointment, and feeling bad, then the reminder that I'm going to choose love.
I'm going to choose
that,
love.
Right now. That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
Thank you,
Lori.
Thank you to everyone and to our practice, and go happy.
Yes. Go happy.
Thanks, Lori. I was looking at something and found this quote, Jerry, about how the practice that we do, this contemplative, meditative awareness practice, is the deepening of the ability to hold a heart of ecstasy and a broken heart at the same time, but not as a contradiction.
Mm.
Because they're all just depths of love, right? It's all love. And what the conditioned perspective is talking about is somehow one aspect of love, the love from which we move, is not acceptable.
Mm. Well, that's, talk about the paradox of Zen, huh?
Yes, exactly. Mm. Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It's only when my heart is broken that I will choose that love to act from.
Mm-hmm. And that I'm open to the ecstasy.
And I'm open to the ecstasy, or the compassion, which is the ability to hold what hurts or what's difficult as much as I can embrace what's joyful.
Mm-hmm. Well, here we are, huh?
Here we are. And so our assignment, today's Friday, so our assignment for today is, what do you expect or assume about your life that causes you to be dissatisfied? Can you remember specific examples in which your assumptions and expectations about life caused your dissatisfaction and suffering?
Wow. Yeah, and we need to throw disappointment in there, right?
Which is what dissatisfaction is.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thanks to everybody.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care, everyone. We'll talk to everybody on Monday.
All right. Gosho.
Thank you.